You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following Lutheran Hour sermon was delivered by the Reverend Wallace Schultz. We hope you enjoy his message titled, Time is a Gift. And now here's Reverend Schultz.
2 years ago, Time magazine on its front cover used an eye-catching collage depicting over 75 men running frantically along interconnecting highways, giving the impression that they were constantly behind and consistently unable to catch up. The title of this attention-grabbing cover story was The Rat Race, How America is Running Itself Ragged. The author then uncovered many uncomfortable facts which most of us know and situations in which many of us are often directly involved. Several decades ago, futurists and sociologists predicted a short work week by 1990. But as many of us realized from firsthand experience, the opposite has actually occurred. Since 1973, the average work week has not decreased, but instead it has increased from 41 hours to 47 hours, and the leisure time available to Americans has shrunk 37%, and the Sabbath day, the day of rest, has now also become a casualty. The Sabbath day has been changed from a day of godly worship into a day of endless materialistic shopping. Today we see push, 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 and drive, drive, drive to get ahead. Finally, we must ask the question, what are the consequences of this self-centered lifestyle? The author of the research article I just mentioned concludes with convincing and damning evidence that all of this has resulted in much damaging social disruption. For example, the family has been radically changed in the way that it now functions. The consequences of this self-centered, I must get more, I must have more attitude, is especially recognizable at mealtimes. Nowadays, even when sitting down to eat, four out of 10 families, nearly one half of all families at mealtime, do not speak to one another anymore. While they consume their food, they either study or work or read or watch television. Now, with these brutal observations, which leave none of us untouched, it is time for all of us to heed the word of the Lord. With love and compassion, Jesus said to his weary followers, "Come away," Jesus said, "come away by yourself and rest a while." Jesus spoke these words to his disciples during his public ministry. And he is saying this to you and to me today. Jesus is saying this now. Slow down. Take time out. Do this for yourself, and do this also for your entire family. You may be so interested, my friend, in getting everything out of life that you are going to end up getting nothing out of life. Therefore, as we discuss the entire subject of work and play and rest and relaxation and taking time out in life, it is important, yes, it is very important, that we seek advice and counsel first from God's holy word. In Genesis chapter 2 we read, "And by the seventh day God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work." Later in the New Testament, Jesus also set the example for us. Jesus took time to relax and to meditate on the meaning of life. He often went out alone to pray. Jesus also frequently retired with his disciples to a quiet place, and repeatedly he would relax with his disciples. Now, what is also interesting to note is this. In these special retreats, the Savior and his disciples did not merely meditate on meaninglessness. Their minds did not lapse into vain talk or useless gossip or callous criticism of others. On the contrary, when Jesus took time out with his disciples, it was a feast for their famished souls. These intimate retreats were opportunities for our loving Lord to discuss with his faithful followers the secrets of the kingdom of God and the great mysteries of faith and hope, forgiveness and heaven. Jesus took the time to fortify his followers' faith, to lift them up, to encourage them, and to refresh and to prepare them to go back into a tumultuous society, a society filled with fears and frustration. On these special days, when Jesus took his followers aside to rest, this was a great spiritual celebration. Man, Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So great a spiritual impression had Jesus made upon the minds of his faithful followers that, even though these men were at times confounded and confused by the great teachings of their master, they, nevertheless, when given the opportunity to go some other way, they said to Jesus instead, Lord, where else should we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Now let's talk about today. Look at your lifestyle. Are you always busy? Maybe it's time for you also to adjust your lifestyle and your schedule. The will of God. The will of God, my friend, is also for you to take time out and to meditate on God's living, cleansing, healing, and refreshing word. It is God's desire that he be the center of your life, the center of your work, your vacation, and everything that you do. Taking time out and meditating upon the word will re-energize your soul. Nourishing your mind on the forgiving word will unburden your conscience. And this same efficacious word will give you the necessary strength that you need to face a very, very uncertain future. There are a lot of opinions nowadays about who Jesus was and what he did. In fact, in 1986, a paperback book was published with this provocative title, Who Do Americans Say That I Am? This publication was a summary of survey results received by researchers trying to determine who people today believe that Jesus really is. The opinions expressed were quite interesting, to say the least. Some said that Jesus was a good teacher. Others said that he was a revolutionary. And still others said that Jesus was someone who had the power to do the most unusual things. And maybe he was even a magician. But what shocked some Christian leaders, including many clergy, was that only 13%, yes, only 13% of all people surveyed, when they heard the name of Jesus, confessed that they associated the name of Jesus with God's greatest gift of mercy, the free gift of forgiveness. This ought to be the first thing that one thinks about, forgiveness, when you hear the name of Jesus. But sadly for most people today, this is not the case. We must then ask, why does this spiritual misunderstanding, this terrible and tragic misconception, why does this exist in our society? This is probably because so much popular literature today focuses not on the crucified Christ and the forgiveness that he accomplished for all men on the cross, but rather so much of what we see written today about Jesus is critical and blasphemous of Christ. Nevertheless, if we are willing to do only a casual examination of the scriptures, we will soon see that the ultimate goal of Jesus' public ministry was to make total forgiveness available unto all men. Jesus said that he did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This perfect and total forgiveness that Jesus Christ procured through his ransom is the key. Yes, it is the key to life. And what better subject could you and your family discuss on your retreats and during your time alone than the unconditional forgiveness of God in Christ? If oil and grease can make a squeaky machine run smoothly and more quietly, then forgiveness and love can surely cause a noisy and unruly family to be restored to harmony and wholeness again. And so today, as we consider rest and relaxation and getting away from it all, you might be tempted to say, yes, but I can't afford to take time out. I must work. If I don't, I feel guilty. Now, if this is the way you feel, then remember, Jesus could have said the very same thing. Jesus could have worked all day and all night. Jesus could have certainly healed all of the sick in the community where he labored. But he chose not to do so. And this is surely a lesson for all of us, including those of us who are clergy. No, my friend, the future of the world does not depend on you alone. In fact, it does not depend on you at all. I know that's not very pleasant to hear, but that's the truth. And God is not pleased with workaholics. In fact, God is greatly displeased when you work so much that you are grumpy and even endangering your own health. Then you are sinning against God. There is also, of course, still another dimension. When we only work and we do not rest, we almost always abuse others, especially members of our own family. And workaholics, when they are challenged, when their bullheaded driven sin is pointed out, even by their close friends, they frequently become arrogant and angry. They quickly and often loudly claim that no one has the right to tell them what to do. After all, look how hard they are working and how they are giving sacrificially of themselves and even sometimes suffering. You know what? Most people are not at all impressed by this sinful attitude, but most of all, God is not impressed either. So, my friend, if you are one of those no longer enjoying the simple things of life, the deep mysteries of faith, the blessed assurance of God's daily forgiveness, or the wonderful strength of hope through faith in God, and if you are no longer enjoying just being with your family, even when there is nothing else to do, and if you find yourself totally uninterested in God's creation and in the great question of who Jesus really is, then the red light of spiritual caution is surely flickering to warn your soul. It is time for you to repent and to change. Now is the time for you to take time out, to learn who you are, who your family is, and most important of all, who God is and what He has done for you in Jesus Christ. Instead of trying to accomplish everything in this life, take time to realize and to claim the great treasures that God has already accomplished for you, not only for this life, but also for eternity. Now, in order to explain what I've just said, let me refer you to a fascinating news story. According to the New York Times Consumer World, every year up to $1 billion goes unclaimed. That's correct. $1 billion just sits there and nobody claims it. These unclaimed monies frequently involve unclaimed bank accounts, stock dividends, utility deposits, and insurance settlements. This money belongs to specific individuals. Nevertheless, these people, for whatever reason, are unaware of this cash. The fact is, however, these people are often so busy, they simply do not take the time to find out about the treasures they already possess. They are potentially rich, but they are actually poor. And so also when it comes to meaning in life and the grace of God, you and I can be in a desperate and a dangerous situation. We can be so spiritually poverty-stricken that we will die forever, eternally separated from God, simply because we refuse to take time out and to see what God has done for us in Christ. My friend, even if you have never done this before, do it now. Listen to the Word of God as He in His grace describes the inheritance and the eternal treasures already set aside for you. In Colossians chapter 1, we read the word of the Apostle Paul encouraging us to give thanks to the Heavenly Father who, and I quote, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For God delivered us from the domain of darkness, and He has transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. My dear friend, today is the time, now is the hour. Begin plans to take time out for yourself and for your entire family, to discover the great inheritance of forgiveness and the eternal hope in Christ, which is now waiting for you. Claim this precious gift from God, claim it by faith. For when you do, your sinful attitude will be transformed into God-pleasing repentance and faith. Your life will then be renewed. Your family will rejoice, and your future will be secure, forever anchored in the sin-atoning power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, my friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. your life will be renewed, and your soul will be saved eternally. Amen.
You've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.